This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
One, two, three. Good
True Loving this morning. The Young Rascals. That's an oldie, but a goodie. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for being with us on this Friday, October the 27th, last Friday in the month, as we move along in 2023. We have a lot going on this morning, as you can imagine. In a few minutes, Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us. We're going to talk about third quarter economic growth in the U.S. and how actions by the Federal Reserve, despite what some people might tell you, according to Ryan, have not created a recession. Have not created a recession. So stay tuned for that just a few minutes. And the U.S. strikes two Iran-backed militia sites in Syria. Here is the question: is it putting us on the threshold of war in the Mideast? We are going to discuss that. And another Republican presidential candidate bites the dust or suspends his campaign, and he endorses Donald Trump. Who is it? We will let you know who it is. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 countries with the highest suicide rates. I think you're going to be a little bit surprised about some of them. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, best haircutting place for men I have found. Call for your appointment. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays, 727-733-3773. And if you need any kind of work with trees on your property, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever, call ArborLife Tree Service. They are the best. I have used them. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So the U.S. has carried out airstrikes that have targeted two facilities linked to Iranian-backed militias, both of them in Syria. They happened yesterday. You know, everybody's been talking about, when is the Biden administration going to stop being slapped around by Iran? So these are the kind of strikes. They're like pinprick strikes, right? They're done early in the morning when there's hardly anybody on the bases. So it's supposed to be sort of a little bit of a pinprick, basically. The statement said the facilities have been used by Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps and affiliated groups. They were carried out by F-16 fighter jets using what are called precision-guided munitions. They targeted a weapons and an ammunition storage facility near the border between Syria and Iraq. They were described as this, as ordered by Biden, narrowly tailored in self-defense. And it was emphasized they are separate from the Israeli war. Now, I don't know how you can separate the two right now, considering all of this stuff is going on and they're all connected. They're intertwined. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin described the strikes as I said, as narrowly tailored in self-defense. He says, we know that there were people on the target at various points during the day. Again, we know that they were not civilians. So, I don't know. I guess it's supposed to send some sort of a message. But how do you stick your toe in the water without getting wet? You know what I mean? It's like, because I can remember how we slowly got into the Vietnam War. You know, with a little bit here and a little bit there. At first, we sent advisors over to Indochina. Then we started sending troops, but we didn't make a big deal out of it. It was actually, we were starting to send troops during the Eisenhower administration over there. And then when Kennedy became president, more and more troops got over there until all of a sudden, we were in a full-fledged war that we never declared. And we never wanted to completely eliminate the enemy, you know what I mean? And so we didn't win the war. We ended up killing about 56,000 of our guys in a war that we didn't want to finish off.
Times have changed, though, since those days. Should anything escalate to a point to where we are somehow involved with Iran somehow, it's not going to take long. Listen, we're going to take out the nuclear site. They're going to take out their oil production and bankrupt them.
Well, a lot of people are saying, why don't we actually stop their ships from being able to go into the straits there and deliver the oil? For instance, they are delivering oil to all of, to countries that are not friends of ours, and we could stop them from doing that real quickly and hit them where it hurts, which is in the pocketbook. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you're right. There are ways we can do this.
Speaking of which, usually in the past, every time somebody farts in the Middle East, we've got gas prices going through the roof.
Yeah.
Why is gas prices not gone up yet?
They have gone. Oh, I see what you're saying. They've been dropping recently, haven't they?
I mean, what's going on? They should be well over $4 a gallon.
Yeah.
What usually happens, you know.
True. I am not an expert on all of that. It seems to me that the more that we can produce, the lower the price will be. It's still not where it should be price-wise, but it's just a mess over there. Let's face it, it's just a mess. And by the way, I want to give you the update on what's going on with the Israeli war. We've now got 8,400 people that have been killed in that war. 8,400. Mm-hmm. Again, about 1,400 of them are Israeli civilians and soldiers, 33 Americans that we know of, more than 7,000 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza. They say here that also includes 2,913 minors. We have at least 10 Americans feared to be among the 229 people being held hostage. And I think Joe Biden is still trying to keep Netanyahu, the prime minister, from getting in there on the ground. They're still trying to get, I guess, some more hostages
out. It's in a left-handed way, you know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they should think about this for a little bit. Right?
Yeah. Well, here's the Israeli defense minister. His name is Yoav Gallant. He says, the ground invasion of Gaza is close, and that the world should prepare for a lengthy battle to eradicate Hamas in the Palestinian territory. He says it's not a question of weeks, but a question of months, as far as the length of that will be.
Can you imagine somebody telling George Bush the day after 9/11 to maybe think about this for a little bit before you do anything? On 9/12, George Bush was like, all right, Afghanistan, everybody, out of the pool.
Yeah. Yeah, we acted pretty quickly. I don't know. There was a lot of things. I wondered about that situation there when he sent back some of those Saudi American, I don't know if you remember, but he sent back a whole bunch of Saudi Arabian bigwigs. Mm-hmm. When we knew that the Saudis had something to do with all of this.
Did.
It was strange. Then we go after Iraq. That had nothing to do with it. And, you know, so we were fighting two wars at the same time there. We were going into Afghanistan, and we were fighting Iraq. I'm not sure we handled that as well as we should have. But That's yesteryear. All right, let's take our break. We're going to change horses. Ryan Young is going to join us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about economic growth in the U.S. and how the Federal Reserve's actions have really not led us towards a recession.
No more running down the wrong road, dancing to a different drum.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
On a Friday, and delighted to have back an old friend of ours, Ryan Young. He's the senior economist at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute, and his specialties include regulatory reform, antitrust issues, trade. We're going to talk to him. You know, everybody seems to think that we're headed towards a recession, but Ryan says that the economic growth numbers for the third quarter show that, indeed, things are getting a little better. And maybe the Fed's actions, Federal Reserve's raising of interest rates, indeed, is not gonna cause recession. Ryan, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Great to be here, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, doing good. So you seem to be optimistic. Are you optimistic long-term about the way things are going with the way we are handling our economic situation?
If by long run you mean, you know, coming generations, yes.
I think we
do have our challenges up ahead in the next year or two.
Yeah, that's what I meant, really, the next year or two. So are we? Let me just ask you straight out. Are we going to be in a recession next year?
We are not. I can say that with some confidence. For context, average economic growth is 2.1%. It's been that way for 100 years. That's been the average. That's actually also what we had just this last quarter. But yesterday, new numbers came out, and they weren't 2.1%. They were 4.9%, more than double that. And I think that's a spike. I don't think the fourth quarter growth is going to be that high. But there is reason to believe the economy is going to keep growing, and we're going to avoid a recession for at least the next year or two.
Do you think the Fed needs to raise interest rates again? And will they raise interest rates again within the next short period?
I think they should raise them just by a little bit, maybe a quarter of a percentage point. Next week, they're going to meet and make a decision. My guess is what they will do is hold things steady. They're open to another increase, and with fantastic growth like 4.9% and with unemployment below 4%, I think it's at 3.8 right now. That gives them plenty of room to raise interest rates if they want to. I just don't think that they want to.
Now, a lot of people, Ryan, would say, you know, you start raising interest rates, people stop buying. People stop buying, we're going to start having a recession. Businesses need customers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the Fed has been slowly raising interest rates, and yet our spending seems to continue. So Are you saying that the Fed kind of is doing it in such a way that, in other words, slowly raising the temperature on the lobster so it doesn't know that it's being burned alive?
That's part of it, but I think the real story is that it goes back to COVID. We had a healthy economy when COVID hit, and then we shut down for a bit, and now we're coming out of it. There was no financial crisis, no housing bubble, no savings and loan scandals. We had a healthy economy that shut down for a bit, and now we're back to normal, or at least close to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real story. The Fed caused the inflation basically because government went into hyper-stimulus mode, and the Fed had to help finance that. And, you know, those higher interest rates on higher mortgage payments, higher car payments, all that is part of the hidden tax of inflation that we're paying. We're not writing a check to the IRS. It's showing in prices everywhere. It's a tax that we're paying for the government's COVID excesses. But the economy is strong enough, and it's in good enough fundamental shape where we're doing okay despite all of that. I think it's kind of amazing.
Yeah. We're talking with Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He is a senior economist there. He knows what he's talking about. He always educates me. You know, I thought things were still going kind of bad. I look at the prices in the stores, and I look at the cost of gasoline. Do you think, Ryan, that the people have picked up on this? You know, the general public, do they think things are getting better?
I don't know about that. I looked at a poll that was taken in June when the economy was growing at 2.1%. You know, right in line with the average for the last century, and my goodness, look at how living standards have improved. 44% of people thought we were in a recession while the economy was growing at 2% and while unemployment was under 4%. People just have a straight-up pessimistic bias, mm-hmm. and that's something that we need to combat. And I'm curious to see what new polls say with 4.9% growth and unemployment still as low as it is.
Were you saying that those other numbers were when Trump was president, or are you saying when Biden was president?
Biden. This was earlier this summer, about 3 or 4 months ago.
Well, everybody saw the prices of gasoline go shooting up. We saw products on the shelves becoming scarce. Supply chain issues. Obviously, the food prices went up. Remember when we were talking about the price of eggs? I remember for a while we were talking about the cost of chicken, which always was, you know, a low cost item. And milk, you know, products like that. So people were going, my God, look at the, you know, I mean, overall, if we look at where we were when Trump left office and where we are now with Biden, I mean, we are obviously spending a lot more money, right?
Yeah, in fact, a lot of what drove this quarter's fantastic growth and why I think it's just a temporary spike is because a lot of it was driven by consumer spending. Part of it is people spending down some of their COVID savings. But another story is actually a good one, and that's the labor force participation rate. It's nice that unemployment is low, but that only counts people who are actively looking for work. That has been depressed since COVID, and now it's been bouncing back for a few months now, and we're back to pre-pandemic levels. In fact, it's about the same as it was in 2014 through 2018. So that could be better, but it's in a good place, and that is genuine growth. It's more people producing more as well as consuming more.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. What about maybe some of the things we can't directly control when it comes to our economy? As an example, we got the war going on with Israel. We're involved in a little bit of that. What's going on there always seems to have something to do with energy prices. We've been pushing for Biden to open up our drilling and fracking. He seems to be oblivious to that. I mean, are we really going to get past all of these problems until you know, with our continuing to stifle our creation of energy here in the United States?
Something's going to have to give at some point, and I've been waiting for gas prices to go up because of what's happening in the Middle East. It hasn't yet, and I think one reason is that despite yanking permits for pipelines and making it more difficult to explore for oil and for natural gas, domestic production over the last year is actually at an all-time record high.
Really?
I don't know how that happened, but
I don't either.
It's not easy for our entrepreneurs to make that happen, but they're somehow adapting to stricter regulations. But at some point, something does have to give, so we'll see what happens going forward.
I think most people, I mean, if you look at the list of concerns, I mean, Biden's numbers are not good, especially when it comes to the economy. They blame him. And there is this concept that when he took office, he stopped fracking and he stopped the creation of pipelines and things like that. He got behind the eight ball a little bit. Then there was the situation with our pullout from Afghanistan and all of these different things. And then the Ukraine war. And, of course, that has a lot to do with the price of energy, that with Russia and Ukraine involved the way it is. And then when you get Iran involved and, you know, all of these oil countries in the Mideast, it seems like we're in a situation now where we can't really control a lot of that. You would think there would be more pressure on the Biden administration to, like, drill, baby, drill, you know, while all of this is going on. But apparently, there's enough pressure from the left with climate change concerns to stifle his wanting to do that.
Well, there is one safety valve left, and that's Venezuela. So instead of relying on dictatorships in Russia and dictatorships in the Middle East,
we can rely on that.
We've just started loosening a little bit sanctions against the dictatorship in Venezuela. So there's still places to turn.
Yes. I guess so. I mean, that it just seems like we sacrifice our principles a little bit. But let's get back to the numbers. So the numbers are looking good. You say that there's a chance that the Fed will raise rates again, but they're doing it in such a way that recession is not going to be something we have to worry about next year. All we have to worry about next year is electing a new president.
Yeah, more or less. Interest rates are more or less where they need to be. I favor a slight increase, but for a long time, interest rates were artificially low. They were below zero in real terms, which is just wrong.
Where are they right now, by the way, Ryan? Where are they? Let's say you want to buy a mortgage or something. What's the interest rate these days?
The federal funds rate that the Fed sets is tops out at 5.25%. I'd like them to raise it to 5.5%. Okay. That would put mortgages, which sets themselves in relation to that, usually about 7 or 8.
7 or 8%. Okay.
Yeah, but keep in mind, when that federal funds rate is below zero in real terms, you know, that interest rate by itself means nothing, but other interest rates key themselves to it, and that's where the power of the Fed's interest rate adjustments come in. You distort all kinds of pricing decisions in the bond markets and the stock markets. You get all kinds of malinvestment and risk chasing. Interest rates now, they seem high because that's relative to that artificially low baseline, but they're actually more or less where they've been for most of American history.
Okay.
This is normal interest rates now.
What about the actual housing industry, though? People seem reluctant to be buying right now. Is it just because of the psychology of thinking, well, the rates used to be lower than this, and I don't want to spend this kind of money, or what's going on there?
Interest rates are a big obstacle, but I think a bigger one actually has nothing to do with the Fed. I think it's regulation. Try getting housing permits. You have NIMBYs, not in my backyard, people blocking every project they can. You have environmental activists saying don't build anything anywhere. And they have very good lobbyists. They show up at local zoning and planning meetings. They shut down so many projects. And if we could just build more housing, the price would naturally come down, regardless of what the Fed does with interest rates.
So you're saying that it's not that the housing industry does not want to build, it's that they're being stopped.
Yeah, by people on the right and people on the left.
Hmm.
And it's a bipartisan problem, mostly at the state and local level, which is why it doesn't get that much press. It's not really a federal issue, but it's stopping so much housing and keeping prices high in places where people need it the most.
So, Ryan Young, what would you tell Joe Biden if you had a chance to sit down with him in terms of what he should do economically to both enhance his own situation and to make things better? Should he stay the course, or is some drastic action by him necessary?
One is to spend less, and two is to get some structural reforms in place for the regulatory state, so rules can drop off the books if they're not needed, make it harder to pass new rules unless they really do have more benefit than cost. He's been doing stuff on that I'm not going to get into. But
sure.
Spending and regulation are the two biggies.
Can I finally, a final question for you. What do you think of the new Speaker of the House? Do you think he's our kind of guy?
I think he's been saddled with an impossible job, so to some extent it doesn't matter.
Hmm. Okay. Well, at least, now we've got, the House is the spending vehicle in our process in this country. So now that we've got a Speaker of the House, are we going to start, spending this, the kind of money we need to spend? Or do you think it was just as good that we weren't doing anything with the House?
Boy, that's a tough one. Basically, he's dealing with a fractured party, and the Democrats on the other side are just letting the Republicans self-destruct. Hopefully, fatigue is setting in among the Republicans at this point, and they're realizing that they actually do have some serious business to do, and it's not just a TV show anymore. Until they get that sense, nothing's going to happen. So hopefully the reality is starting to set in, and whoever the new guy is, hopefully he can actually get something done. Good luck to him.
Yes, indeed. Ryan, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so very much. Look forward to our next chat.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, sir. Ryan Young, Competitive Enterprise Institute. All righty, then. Going to take our break. When we come back, did you know another Republican presidential candidate bites the dust, suspends his campaign, endorses Donald Trump? You know who it is? We'll let you know.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Friday. No, it's not. Anyway, yes, it is. I get all mixed up myself. Hey, speaking about getting mixed up, listen to this, Ed. President Biden was caught once again holding a cheat sheet on Wednesday. Remember he had that press conference with the Australian Prime Minister, a guy by the name of Anthony Albanese. Well, Biden was holding a cheat sheet with pictures of two reporters in his hand. He called on those two. I guess they wanted to make sure that he was looking at them when he was calling on them. All told, the leaders took questions from four reporters, two from each of their respective countries. Yeah. This is what's supposed to be a press conference. He took two questions.
You know the issue.
He talked to two people. When is he going to grow a spine and allow other people to ask questions in an open forum?
You know, the Australians make a lot of fun of him, of Biden, back in their country. You know, I see the clips of it all the time. They laugh the way he walks around and on stage and constantly going left to right and whatever. Mumbling and fumbling and.
The names on the list included a correspondent from PBS.
Yep, I saw that.
And a USA Today White House correspondent. Those were the two that he took questions from. The funny thing was that the PBS correspondent, her name is Laura Baron Lopez, she had a notable exchange with Biden when he rejected the premise of her question about the implications of the Palestinian death toll, saying that he has no confidence in the numbers from the Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry as being truthful. I thought that was a good answer by him,
well,
by the
she
way.
Won't be called on again.
Maybe
tell you
not.
That. Listen,
know.
You stick to ice cream questions and that's it.
Yeah. So we got our buddy, the master barber, Andrew Ceresi with us. Andrew, I don't know if you watched that press conference. So much is going on. I want you to hear this, though. Did you know that one of the Republican presidential candidates of the Republican presidential candidates is suspending his campaign. Do you know who it is, Andrew?
Yes, I do. It's the black guy. Forget his name.
Tim Scott?
No, it's not Tim Scott. It's the other black guy. It's
the other black guy.
Yes, it's Larry Elder. You're right.
Larry Elder. There you go. Yeah, I was reading that this morning. Hey, you know what else, Paul?
What?
You know how you were worried about Robert Kennedy Jr. might take a lot of people away from Trump? Oh, and by the way, Larry Elder endorsed Trump.
Yes, I know.
Hey, we were talking one day, and he says, you know, I think Robert Kennedy is going to hurt Trump more than anything.
No, I didn't. I think he's going to hurt Biden more, but go ahead.
I'll tell you how he blew it, and no matter what, he blew it, because he said the other day he is for reparations.
Oh, yeah, did he, Kennedy?
Yes, he did.
Oh, that'll do it right there, won't it? Well, first of all, Personally, I never thought that Robert Kennedy would take more votes away from Trump. I really thought he would take more from Biden. But a lot of people do think that because he has certain, feelings about the COVID shots and all that stuff, that would seep into some of the Trump supporters and they would go, yeah, I agree with that. I'm not so sure. I don't think Trump supporters would vote for Kennedy. I think he's a flake.
99% of Congress is a flake.
Yes, it is.
What are you comparing them to?
Hey, speaking of that, what do you think of this new guy that's the Speaker of the House?
We'll find out. I mean, you know, what do you know about him? Same thing I do. Nothing.
Nothing. But he,
that's what I'm saying.
I knew nothing about him, and I didn't even know he existed. But
that's what I'm saying.
But I've heard him, and you know, he comes across really good, in my humble opinion. He's from.
I heard a few statements. He sounded pretty good. But Paul, you guys, the guy you had on this morning talking about the economy,
Ryan Young.
I talk with people all the time, and the reason the economy was as high as it is right now, or the growth, is because the government pumped a lot of money into, I guess, infrastructures. If you like, you notice around here, all the construction, this is all over the country going on right now.
Yeah.
So they said this is what's causing it, because I could tell you everybody I talked to was moaning about the economy.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
I still am every time I go to the grocery store. When are the prices going to come down? They went up because of COVID. They went up because of gas prices. Well, gas prices have eased a little bit. They're not $5 a gallon. They're $3.25. So when is the price of chicken going to go back down? You know, when is the price of dog food going to go back down?
It's not.
I agree.
It goes up. It never comes down.
It never comes completely down. Sometimes it goes down a little bit, but it never goes back to where it was.
It stays the same, but they changed the size of the packaging.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I mean, he was talking about the housing. Well, I get a thing from Zillow every month in the zip code where I live, the area code, or 34684, my zip code, and it shows me what houses sold in that zip code. Well, you know, about 2-3 months ago, there was 50 and 60 houses selling when the interest rates were low. Now, I opened it up last month, 3 houses were sold.
Yeah.
Okay, and this month, 5 were sold. I mean, it's a little bit different from 50 and 60.
Yeah, I agree with you. People are not going out. Many of them are not getting the loans.
Nope, and especially now, we're involved in Syria, Paul.
Yes, I know.
We're bombing there. The party's over, buddy.
Well, we were talking about that this morning. That was one of the first stories we talked about, was the fact that we went in there, into Syria, and these were Iran-connected facilities, although they were done in such a way that we didn't want to hurt anybody as much as possible, the timing of it, you know. And so, you know, they were, I mean, we didn't really, we could have done a hell of a lot more damage if we really wanted to do it. So is that going to scare Iran, do you think? Or do you think Biden was going, you know, everybody's saying I have a yellow streak up my back. Let's do this, and that'll impress everybody.
Again, you got to realize our military is not what it used to be. You know?
Yeah.
When Trump was president, we were strong and powerful. People feared us. You know, we're going to send Admiral Skirt over there and see if he can take care of the mess, you know?
Yes.
Come on.
Well,
they're not false. When who was it? Was it Heather you that said Australia laughs at us?
Oh, Australia.
Everybody laughs at us.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Not just Australia. They're just chiming in.
No, I'm just saying their mainstream media likes to make a lot of fun of Biden.
That's easy to do. Everybody is doing that.
I know, but the only one that does it here is really Fox.
That's it.
Yeah.
But over, all his bumbles.
Over there, they're just laughing their butts off at him every time he takes a wrong turn off stage. Or
well, you know, are we going to back into a war, Andrew, with Iran? Is that what you're saying?
Paul, I think right now the world's on fire. And you don't know what's going to happen from day to day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
You know, I planned on going to a Halloween party this weekend, but I guess, listen to you, I'm just going to find the nearest fallout shelter and take up shopping there for the weekend.
You know what's amazing with all this going on? You know, we're not hearing about the Hunter Biden case, how that got
As a matter of fact, it just so happens that one of my stories here that I hadn't gotten to yet has to do, in fact, I got a couple of them, but let me run them by you. Information by Chuck Grassley, you know who he is, Republican from Iowa, Senator, shows that the FBI maintained more than 40 confidential human sources on various criminal matters related to the Biden family, including Dear Joe, dating back to his time as vice president. The confidential human sources provided criminal info to the FBI related to Joe, his brother James Biden, and of course, good old Hunter Biden. Those confidential human sources were managed by multiple FBI field offices across the country, but Grassley learned that an FBI task force within Washington sought to shut down successfully the reporting and info from those sources by falsely discrediting the info as foreign disinformation. So you had the FBI working against its own sources so that this stuff wouldn't come. Of course, they went after, same time they were doing that, they were going after Donald Trump for the nonsense about Russian collusion.
Well, like I said, this country is on fire. The whole world's on fire. Listen, wrong is right. Right is wrong. Girl's boy. Boy is girl. And come on.
Yeah, I feel rather feminine today.
Really?
Yeah. It's on Friday. It's my feminine day. Here's another story I wanted to talk about, as long as you brought up Hunter and Joe. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer wants the White House to provide documents on this so-called $200,000 payment from James Biden to Joe Biden in 2018. Supposedly, this is supposed to be a loan. Did you hear about this?
No.
Comer said that his panel had uncovered evidence that Joe Biden received $200,000 direct payment in the form of a personal check from dear brother James and James's wife, Sarah. The check was labeled loan repayment. Well, here's the deal. Let's be honest. The money that's being funneled through these LLC corporations, we're going to different members of the Biden family, and then Joe was getting a cut. And so James was giving Joe his cut. That's what he was doing. But they make it sound like it's some sort of a loan or a loan repayment.
Boy, with all the stuff that he's done and his family, you'd think your last name would be Bidino, huh?
And the thing is that everybody apparently in Congress knew about this Biden crime family thing for a long time. We, the public, are just learning about it over the last couple of years.
And you know what you're going to learn about it? They're not going to do nothing.
Yeah.
Well, they got a year.
Well, maybe they will.
They got almost a calendar year to do something with her, because after that, it isn't going to matter.
That's right.
Well, with all of this going on, and the war in Iran, or I mean, I'm sorry, in Israel, and all of these other things going on, as we move closer towards this presidential election, I think it just makes everything look better for the Republicans.
Well, you would think so, but they think, you know, the Republicans are their worst enemies, Paul.
That can be true. Yes, I can realize it.
They're their worst enemies. There's no question in my mind about it.
Yeah, a circular firing squad.
Yeah, if they can mess up something, believe me, they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you think it's looking better for Donald Trump?
Well,
I mean, now that Larry Elder has endorsed him, do you think that's going to put him over the line now?
Well, you know, Larry Elder's all right. You know, he's all right.
Yeah, I know.
Let's be real. He doesn't have that much pull.
I know. I'm just kind of teasing you a little bit on that one. But,
Paul, what's going to make it look better for Trump is more and more of these cases seem to fall apart as they're going along.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got the complete clearance of one case that was going on with a 4-year investigation a couple of days ago. About how he, something with the FBI building and this and that, the Democrats accusing him of using his powers when he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff is just going to fall away, I think, just from common sense. It has no legs, a lot of these charges against him.
Right, and the more that happens, the stronger he's going to get. However, we don't hear nothing about any of that today.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got so much else going on, you know, right
that's
now.
That's what I'm saying. Well, everything you turn on, the war, and let's face it, it is a big deal. But there's a lot going on. But the war will help our economy, you know that.
Yeah, it might in certain ways.
I mean, that's the history of this country.
If we're, spending money to build up weaponry, et cetera, selling them to various countries like Israel, I guess you're right. In certain ways, it does.
That's it. So, okay. See, we got the pharmaceuticals and the weapons. We'll be all right.
Oh, boy. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend. I'm glad you called in.
Yeah, me too. There was a change of plans.
Yeah.
This was going to be about an hour later, so I said, oh, well, here I am.
Yeah, Andrew is a guardian angel to a lot of people, and once again, he has found somebody to try to help through some very tough times. Thanks, Andrew. I look forward to talking with you again next week, buddy.
You take care. Have a good weekend.
And the same to you. All right, there he goes. Andrew the Master Barber. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, I want to talk some sports. We played football last night. Tampa Bay did. We'll talk about that. And then the top 10 countries with the highest suicide rates.
You are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Friday. Thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday every week, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. Now, we know sometimes you're not able to listen to us live. Thanks to Big Ed, bless his soul. All of our shows go to podcast. So you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. That's O-U-R. OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button right at the top, and it'll open up, and there's all our shows. It'll have the most recent show at the top. You'll know who the guest is. You'll know what the topic is with the guest. You'll know our top 10. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. So here's a stupid thing before we get to the sports, but real quickly, the Biden administration has a proposal to ban menthol cigarettes. Have you heard about this one? Ban menthol cigarettes. In April of last year, the FDA proposed the prohibition of menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars to prevent kids from becoming the next generation of smokers. I'll tell you what, get away from all of that stuff. You got more to do than starting to ban people's cigarettes. That is just crazy.
Why stop there? Why not go into the liquor store and get rid of the scotch.
Get rid of
the bubblegum flavored vodka, yeah, or whatever. I mean, come on. Why stop there?
Right. I agree. All right. Before we get to our and we have a very interesting.
You know what? My parents caught me smoking one time.
Yeah. And how old were you?
I was
38.
10. 10 or
years
11,
old. Oh,
10 or
you
11.
Started young.
Well, it was just some friends. We tried it. I got caught.
Yeah?
They made me smoke right in front of them.
Mm. I bet it wasn't very pleasurable.
No.
I remember the first time I tried a cigarette.
And they said, oh, no, you have to inhale.
Oh, yes.
None of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
No, inhale it.
There you go.
And then when you choked and you had enough.
There you go.
Yeah.
And see, you remember that,
don't you?
That's when
parents got involved. You know, they didn't need the government to say, you can't have that. No more big gulp drinks, you know, this, whatever. We had a choice, you know, and you were brought up not to take the wrong choice.
That's true. Well, it worked. I want to ask you about last night's game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers went to Buffalo. What happened? It looked like it. Go ahead.
Exactly what I thought would happen. I did not feel they were going to win the game. They came out of the gate, started the season 2-0. Oh, we beat the Bears. And we went to beat Minnesota.
That's
nothing. And now we've lost 3 in a row, 4 out of the last 5.
That's not good. Not good.
And we have to go now. Next week, go to Houston, which Houston is a very good team at home. I think we'll lose that game. Then we got to go to San Francisco.
That's tough for that one.
So I smell 5-game loss.
Did you see that the punter for Tampa Bay took a swing?
Oh yeah, he did.
And the refs did not call the penalty on that one. Did they just not see it?
He actually took his helmet off and swung it.
Yeah.
Because
what's going on here?
Well, there was a scrum, and he was trying to pull a player off, and they swung at him, but it wasn't seen by the ref. So he actually went to take his helmet off, which is stupid. If you're going to get in a fist fight, keep your helmet on.
Yeah.
But this guy that we got as a punter who's the best in the league, he's scrappy, too.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't want to meet him in a dark alley.
No, it doesn't sound like. And also, the World Series starts tonight.
Yeah.
Texas versus Arizona.
W's throwing out the...
And then W. Bush is throwing out the ball.
He's presidential-fied.
The first game is in Texas then?
Yes, in Arlington.
Well, I'll be kind of interested in this one.
I'll keep an eye on it because Longoria is in it for Arizona.
Evan Longoria plays third base. How many years has he been in the league now? About 12?
Let's see. What was he in, 08?
I remember when he first came up with
I think he was a rookie.
with a raise. I remember when he first came up.
He's been in probably what 14 years,
wow.
15 years.
Time flies. Yeah. Okay. All right, Ed. Here we go. This is the top 10 countries with the highest rates of suicide, though. This is from World Population Review, and I think you're going to be a little bit surprised at some of these. So here we go. Number 10. South Africa is number 10 on the list. They have 23.5 suicides per 100,000 people. Mm. Don't know what's going on down there. Number 9. Not surprised with this one. Russia. Kind of a depressing place to live, right? 25.1 suicides per 100,000 people in Russia. Number 8, Suriname. Suriname. That's one of those island countries.
I was going to say, I'd be surprised, but I don't know where the heck it is.
I know. I'm trying to remember. It's near New Guinea. And
how can you be depressed on an island?
Well, it depends on what kind of island you're on, I suppose. Anyway, they've got 25.4 per 100,000. Number 7, Lithuania. That's not far from Germany. Mm. 26.1 per 100,000. Number 6. This is one of these places where you would never think about anything. Micronesia.
Huh.
I have to look that one up on the map also. That's somewhere way the heck out in the Pacific.
Well, if they have four people there, you know, then one goes, it's 25%.
Well, that's true, too. 28.2 per 100,000 people there. Number 5, and I'll be honest, I don't have any idea. I should have looked this one up. I didn't even know it was a country. Kiribati, K-I-R-I-B-A-T-I.
Mm.
Ever heard of that?
No.
Maybe they commit suicide there because nobody knows who they are.
Yeah, they're lonely.
Exactly. 28.3 people per 100,000. Number 4. This one surprised me, but when you think about it a little bit, not so much. South Korea.
Hmm.
Now, just being next to North Korea,
yeah, that could
is
do
depressing.
Yeah.
28.6 people per 100,000. By the way, North Korea is not on this list, and the only reason they're not is because they don't give out any figures.
I was going to say, they don't want to tell you. Everybody's happy there.
What's left?
Yeah.
Number 3. Another country I've never heard of, to be honest. Eswatini? Eswatini? Jeez. You ever heard of them?
Well,
go to Eswatini. Let's go there for a vacation. 29.4 per 100,000. Number 2. This is another one of these little kind of island countries. Guyana?
Yeah.
You've heard of them, right?
Yeah, because it's a French Guiana.
Too, yeah, there's there? French yeah. Guiana. There's a couple of guys. Wasn't there Dutch Guiana or French Guiana? Anyway, Guiana. And the number really jumps. 40.3 per 100,000 people. They must have a lot of problems.
Mm.
All right, Ed. You're not going to know who it is.
No idea.
Believe me. I've never heard of it. Is it Lesotho? L-E-S-O-T-H-O? That's another one. I should have been looking up where these places are. But listen to this. I'm going to have to look it up. 72.4 people per 100,000 commit suicide in Lesotho. Now, I wanted to also let you know that the U.S. was 23rd with 16.1 per 100,000. Canada was 45th with 11.8. And Japan, where you think there's a lot of suicides, they have a lower suicide rate than the U.S.
Yeah.
Their suicide rate is 15.3 to our 16.1. All right, thank you for listening. We'll be back Monday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.
Is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. We've just heard from police investigating the mass shootings in Lewiston, Maine that left 18 people dead. There has been no apparent breakthrough in the hunt for the man charged.